Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets locate the syllabus. Thank you for taking the time to join me as I cover the Syllabus for Life's course series. If you haven't already, feel free to listen to the previous episodes in this series. I'm going to jump right on in with the Motivational AIM. Locate the syllabus. Here's a quick recap. A syllabus serves as a guide. The syllabus is a guide for the student enrolled in the course, and the syllabus serves as a guide for the instructor teaching the course. When a student sticks to the syllabus as outlined for that particular course, they have a higher chance, higher probability of passing the course and learning what they need to learn in that course for future life experiences or academic experiences, whatever it may be, as well as professional experiences, okay? That's in the academic setting. Now, what I've been doing throughout this series is comparing a syllabus utilized in the academic setting with the syllabus God provides us, which is His Word, in the course we're all taking, and that is the course of life. Now, within the course of life, there are several courses we'll have to master and take. We'll have to do that. And each course, each level, is a springboard for where God is taking you next. But in order for a person to function properly on each level, each stage, each phase of their life's course, they have to stick to the syllabus. They have to complete assignments. They have to do what they need to do. If not, everything will be thrown off. They won't learn what they need to learn for where they're going. And they won't learn what they need to learn in order to help someone else going through the same journey they're going through. It's paramount that we stick to God's syllabus. We need to stick to God's word. That is vital. Now, let me jump back to the academic setting, the academic learning environment example. When a person is enrolled in a particular course, they have to be able to locate the syllabus. The syllabus must be visible. It must be identified. It must be seen in that course for the student to be able to stick to it. Any instructor teaching a course must or should have that syllabus in an accessible area for the student to locate and see. It's serious. It's a serious situation. When a student is enrolled in a course, a teacher is teaching or facilitating instruction, and there's no guide for the student to follow, and there's no guide that the teacher is teaching from. Each course has a purpose. Each course has a particular setup. It is, as I just mentioned, a serious situation when students convene in a classroom. They're trying to learn information, but they're not following anything. They're just in there. It's a free-for-all. People are running amok, making up rules, just doing whatever the heck they want to do, and it doesn't pertain to what they need to do. That's why it's important to locate the syllabus as a student and as a teacher, as an instructor, as an observer. The syllabus needs to be located. The syllabus is not only for the student enrolled in the course. The syllabus is for the instructor too. Anybody who comes into that classroom setting, the syllabus is for them. Yes, the instructor has a role. Yes, the student has a role. But everybody needs to be under some form of authority and accountability. That's why the syllabus is paramount. It is vital. It is necessary. The syllabus was created for the instructor to follow from the administrators, and the instructor is to pass out the syllabi to students so they can follow it. When a student enrolls in a course using the academic setting right now, as I've been doing, let's say a student enrolls in a course, all right, they sit down, and let's say the course is learning the English alphabet, all right, A through Z, 26 letters. That's the course, Learning the English Alphabet. The course title is on the door. When people pass by that particular classroom, you see this course is English Alphabet. When a person enrolls in that course, they see, okay, I want to enroll in the English Alphabet class. Let me go ahead and sign up. Let me pay my tuition to be enrolled into the English Alphabet course. Okay, this is the teacher for the English Alphabet course. Let me go ahead and take this at this time because this fits my schedule. Remember, the English Alphabet course focuses on letters A through Z, 26 letters. The teacher for that course introduces themselves on the first day of class. The teacher proceeds to let the students know who are enrolled. Okay, I've been teaching the English alphabet, 26 letters, for umpt amount of years. I have this experience teaching the English alphabet, 26 letters. This is just what I do. I love teaching the English alphabet, 26 letters. And it's the first day of class. The teacher fails to pass out a syllabus. It's the second week of class now. The teacher doesn't pass out the syllabus. Now we're in the fifth week of class. The teacher has not passed out a syllabus. And the student who is enrolled in English alphabet, 26 letters A through Z, they see the teacher doesn't talk about a syllabus. The teacher doesn't teach from a syllabus. The teacher just starts talking about English alphabet. And then, by the fifth or sixth week of class, they started off talking about the English alphabet, A through Z, 26 letters, but the teacher starts introducing unknown alphabets. Alphabets no one has ever heard of. And then start drawing all kinds of symbols on the chalkboard that no one has ever seen. Just some random stuff. But the teacher starts saying, okay, this is some alphabets that I think they need to incorporate in the English alphabet. And although it's not incorporated in there and we don't know about it, in this class, we're going to just pretend they exist. We're just going to do things my way. And I know, you know, it's not, you know, really practice outside this classroom, but I feel like this is what we should do. Let's just get away from all this, you know, procedures and rules and syllabi. I want to do my own thing. So let's just go with the flow. Let's just go with this. And then let's say the teacher starts saying how it's important to follow all kinds of alphabets. Just alphabets that you've never heard of, you've never seen. Alphabets that don't even exist. She's making them up on the fly. Because alphabeting, you know, it's relative on how you think or perceive it. I mean, let's just get away from the tradition and rules and what we know. And let's just explore with our minds on what the alphabet could be. You know, it's just, we can take this just to the next level, guys. Let's just use your imagination. Just tap into that creative side of you that makes no sense. It doesn't exist. Has no foundation. Just no boundaries, and just create anything. And let's just live by that. And let's say within this class title, remember, it's English alphabet. It's English alphabet. A through Z, 26 letters. That's what it is. A student in that course boldly raises their hand and asks the instructor, okay, where is the syllabus? I need to locate the syllabus for this course because all of these ideas about alphabets and relating to different types of alphabets and what they think or what a person thinks of alphabet should be and how it should be written and illustrated, that's not in the syllabus. I didn't sign up for unknown alphabets. I signed up for the English alphabet, 26 letters, A through Z. That's what I signed up for. So I need to locate the syllabus for this course. This course was designed for me to take what I signed up for. I want to learn the fundamental principles of the English alphabet, A through Z, 26 letters. That's what I want. I want the syllabus for that course. Where is it? Because the course I signed up for is not matching up with what's being presented in the course. Where is the syllabus? I need to locate it. You already know what's going to happen. The instructor for that particular course in that particular class doing what they want to do, they're going to get upset. They're going to be angry, as well as the other students who don't want to follow boundaries. They don't want to follow rules. They don't want to follow a syllabus. They don't want to follow a guide. They don't want to be held accountable. They're going to be upset too, because it's a free-for-all. They like that. They don't like doing things the right way. They want to explore what could be in their mind, even though what could be in their mind could never be. It can't. And it's a sad day, and it's a sad thing when a person really enrolls in a course. They enroll in a course, an academic course, or they enroll or they're employed in a particular job position, and they don't have the guide for their job. They can't locate the guide. They cannot locate the syllabus for their job. And the boss, some of y'all can agree with this, and you've gone through it, or you've done it, but the boss doesn't want to go by the descriptions for the job position for which that person was hired. They don't want to go by that. They want to do what they want to do. They want to violate boundaries. They want to violate the syllabus. They want to cheat the syllabus. They want to manipulate the syllabus because they want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be held accountable, and they don't want the syllabus coming back on them, because the syllabus serves several purposes, not only for the student or the employee, but for the instructor and the boss, the manager, the administrator. And if a person is not following and sticking to the syllabus will separate them. The syllabus will expose them. The syllabus will find them out. It will do that, whether somebody's following it or not. The syllabus stands. Remember, the syllabus is established for the person to stick to it and follow it so they can yield and reap the results for which that syllabus outlines. It's not a game. It happens at jobs or in jobs. It happens in classrooms where some professors, some instructors, they do what they want to do. And it has nothing to do with the syllabus that they're supposed to be sticking to also. And then when somebody says, okay, I located the syllabus, or I can't locate it, why are we doing what we're doing? They get upset. The person who's violating boundaries and doing whatever the heck they want to do, they get upset. That's why it's important, even as it relates to God's syllabus, God's word. When you are in your course of life, your course of forgiveness, your course of accountability, your course of sowing and reaping, your course of living a life of integrity, you ought to be able to locate the syllabus. If somebody calls themselves teaching you about forgiveness, God's way, living God's way, and they're not locating God's syllabus, they're not pulling out God's word, showing you what the syllabus states according to what you're going through, if you can't locate the syllabus and they're not trying to locate it, you might need to go to an instructor who can locate the syllabus and they're living by the syllabus. And you ought to be able to locate the syllabus and not just go off what people say. Just because somebody's saying something, if it's not in God's word, if it's not in God's syllabus, hey, you need to reroute quickly. You don't have time to fail a course, okay? And don't feel like, oh, I need to stay with this person because this person has so many followers and a lot of people say that this is a great teacher and I just need to do this because all my friends and family are in this course. If you can't locate the syllabus and the instructor or whoever doesn't want to locate it and follow it, you need to get out of there. I'm talking about a person is making a deliberate decision to not locate the syllabus. They don't want to follow anything. They just want to do whatever they want to do. And whatever they're doing is really whatever. It's a free-for-all. It's wrong. It's a cesspool. It's full of trash. And they want to swim in it. And going back to previous episodes in the series, that's why it's important for the student to read the syllabus for themselves. It's important for the student to locate the syllabus. Boldly, where's the syllabus for this course? Let the instructor tell you or tell the student, we don't have one. Every day ask, okay, where's the syllabus? I didn't see this in the syllabus, but you know what? Because this is what some people do. Some people don't want to follow rules. They don't want to be held accountable. So they'll make it appear as if everything's okay, it's cool, you don't need the syllabus, just do what I say do, and you'll be okay. I'm using the academic setting or even a job situation. It'll be all right, don't worry about that, don't worry about it, just do this, and I'll let people know that you did this, and it'll be fine. Okay, you do that. Let's say you do whatever they say do a couple of times, and you're thinking, okay, these are the commitments that were made. This person committed to tell me what I needed to do without a syllabus. I agreed to it. I did what they said to do. Seems like I have a favorable outcome. Let me do it again. What you're doing subconsciously is creating a checklist or a guideline to follow, even though you don't have a physical guideline. You're doing this in your mind and off of experience. So the person says, okay, just do this. It'll be all right. You go against what you know to do and you, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. Seems like it's a favorable turnout. They tell you to do something else. Just do this. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to so-and-so for you. Just do it and it'll be all right. You do it again. Once again, going against what you know you need to do because you need a guideline to protect you. But you do it anyway. Turns out to be a favorable result. You do it again. Just go ahead and do this. Everything will be all right. I'll tell so-and-so. You do it this time. It's a problem. The person who told you to do it, they switch up on you. And they tell you, hey, why'd you do that? You know you had no business doing that. You know you need a syllabus for that. How would you do that without the syllabus? Now, where does it say on the syllabus that you're supposed to do this? Well, you told me to do it. Well, you know you're supposed to follow the syllabus. You know you can't do that. That's not even your department. That's not even your area. Why would you cross a boundary and do that? Well, you told me to do it. You told me to do it the first time, the second time. I did it the third time. Now it's a problem. Now you don't have any documentation that I told you to do it the first two times. And guess what? You don't. You see how people can switch it up on you? They don't want the syllabus in place because remember, the syllabus is not only for you, it's for them too. So they get in front of the syllabus to tell you to do something so they won't be held accountable while you're unprotected. That's why you have to stick to the syllabus. The syllabus serves as your receipt also. And the syllabus serves as a boundary, not only for you, but for the other person telling you or advising you on what to do, whether it be a course or a job or whatever it may be. That's why you hear me say frequently, ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment, revelation and understanding and insight, knowledge. The prompting of the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can tell you, no, don't do that. Or yeah, go ahead and do that. Oh, go ahead and ask them to locate the syllabus. That's why you hear me say, oh, this is not a game, because people will switch it up. Some people will switch it up on you because they don't want to follow rules. And then they want to manipulate and use you to do what you're not supposed to be doing so they can get over But then when it's time to crack down and the administrators or the higher ups are coming to see, okay, what's going on here? It's kind of distorted in this area. What's the deal? Well, you know, I can blame it on so-and-so. That's how I set it up from the jump. Now, that's why you have to stick to the syllabus. And that's why you can't worry about what people are saying about you. When people are talking about you, let's say you're in a classroom setting and you're sticking to the syllabus and you have teacher's assistants or teachers or even students saying, oh, there you go. You always want to follow the rules. You always want to do this. That's your protection. You shouldn't feel bad for sticking to a syllabus, doing what's required of you. Just because you have a knucklehead instructor who doesn't want to grade assignments in a timely manner. And they tell you, oh, you can just turn in your assignment at any time. It doesn't matter. But as soon as they go through something, that instructor in their personal life, oh, everything matters now. They're taking out home problems in the classroom on students. They're just going off on students because of something they're going through at the house. Now it matters. They just giving out zeros, passing out zeros and incompletes like candy. And the student's sitting there thinking, okay, I thought you said I could turn this in at any time. Oh, no, you need to stick to the syllabus. See, that's why you have to stick to the syllabus from the jump. The aim is to not deviate from the syllabus just because it seems everybody else is doing it. You know what you're supposed to do. Stick to it. And then, not only stick to it, you have to locate it. Locate it, because when you locate the syllabus, you can stick to it because you know what's in there. If you can't locate the syllabus, that is serious. Not only in the academic setting or on a job, in your life's course. You go to a church. Let's say you go to a church. Not you. We're not going to use you. Let's say a person goes to a church. And this church is teaching all of these things, but you can't locate the syllabus. You cannot locate God's word anywhere in that church. That's a place you need to leave, or that person needs to leave. They don't even, let's say this particular church doesn't even want to use God's syllabus. You don't even see extra syllabi, God's word in the pew. You know how they have Bibles on the pew in the seats? They have extra ones when it's time to preach the word. Some churches, they passing out Bibles to people who don't have them. Some churches do that. Now we have, you know, smart devices and technology where people can download a Bible application right off their phone and look at it during service while the preacher's preaching or teaching. But if you can't locate the syllabus, if you cannot locate God's word in the place where God's word is supposed to be preached and taught, hey, that's a problem. Going back to the example about a person being enrolled in the English alphabet, 26 letters, A through Z. If that's the class they're in and we're not learning about that, that's a problem. That's a major problem. And a person needs to drop that particular course with that teacher and go find the teacher or the institution that teaches what they need. But you see why some people don't take those extra steps, because that's just too much. I mean, they're teaching this already. I might as well just stay. Okay. If a person stays there, they're delaying what they need for the future. And it's going to come back to bite them, because they still have to take their course now or later. So it's best to get it done on the front end than trying to do something on the back end where stuff just stacks up and then other life issues get in the way. See, if you locate the syllabus and you stick to the syllabus using the academic setting or job, and you're in a course and that person who's supposed to be teaching from that syllabus doesn't stick to it and they don't locate it, you, as the student, have something to work from. You can begin going through the chain of command to inform whoever you need to inform. If you get a failing grade or whatever, hey, this, if you didn't drop it, this particular instructor does not teach the syllabus. They don't stick to the syllabus. Matter of fact, I couldn't locate the syllabus whatsoever. All throughout the 14, 12, 16 weeks, I couldn't locate the syllabus. I don't know what's going on. See, an investigation takes place then, because everybody answers to somebody. We all answer to God, but God put these checks and balances in place for people to walk in integrity and do what they're supposed to do, no matter the vocation, responsibility, procedure, or policy. There are rules to be followed. There's a syllabus people need to stick to. Same thing with us. We need to stick to the syllabus, and we need to be able to locate the syllabus in our everyday interactions, no matter what it is. And I know of a situation with a colleague of mine who encountered a issue with a professor of ours because the professor did not want to stick to the syllabus and the professor did not want to locate the syllabus. So what happened was the colleague of mine was enrolled in a course. The course was a practicum. So she's a doctorate candidate, or she was a doctorate candidate. And within this practicum, she was supposed to teach undergraduate courses. That was her assignment for receiving credit for that particular course. Now, she needed a syllabus. She had a syllabus. She could locate the syllabus. She had all of that at her disposal. It was there. But what started to happen is the professor, who served as the administrator, one of the many administrators within the department, my colleague would have to go to her and talk to that administrator and let that administrator know, okay, I did X, Y, and Z. I did A, B, and C. I did 1, 2, and 3. This is what it says on the syllabus, and what's next? So everything was going all right until the administrator didn't want to locate the syllabus anymore. She did not want to locate the syllabus. Mind you, my colleague, my classmate, has to teach these courses for a course. Teaching the courses served as a requirement to pass the class she was in. She's teaching undergraduate courses, as I mentioned earlier. She's locating the syllabus. She's doing what she needs to do. The administrator seems like everything's all right until the administrator started muddying and trying to erase boundary markers regarding the syllabus. And that's where the major problems started happening. So what happened was, or one particular incident or incidents, was when the professor / administrator told my colleague, okay, yeah, you have to teach those classes, but you need to go pick me up some lunch. My colleague lets her know, okay, hold up, lunch? That's not in the syllabus. I've located the syllabus. It doesn't say I need to go get you lunch. It doesn't say I need to go get you some coffee. It doesn't say I need to go get you some gas in your car because you don't feel like going. It doesn't say for me to go to a store to go pay your utility bills. It does not say that. The syllabus, I've located, and it doesn't say any of that in there. I'm signed up for a course, and the course description doesn't say go pay your water bill. It doesn't say for me to go to your baby's daycare and pick up your kids. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say to go to the grocery store and be your personal shopper. It doesn't say that I'm your personal chef. It doesn't say I'm your errand girl. It doesn't say that at all. That's not what that syllabus states. I've located it. I've read it. And I want to stick to this because it's dealing with the course I've enrolled in. that's not there. And boy, when she, my colleague, brought this to the professor's attention, saying, hey, I'm just going by the syllabus that the College of Education implemented with the state of Texas and this institution as a whole. Yeah, it doesn't say any of that in there. That professor was upset. That administrator, she was angry. Boy, she was angry. And she caused all types of problems in that, my colleague's life. She caused all kinds of problems. And a colleague of mine, she just kept pressing forward. See, it reminded me what she was going through was when I was in undergrad, where I had to deal with a, boy, bona fide dingbat. And I've talked about this scenario, I think in the early episodes of the series. I don't know which one. I know I've talked about an Akashic Sense tip. I haven't gone in explicit detail with it, but I've tapped the surface or scratched the surface of what occurred. But I had to deal with a administrator who was, as far as I'm concerned, a demon. This was a bona fide demon. Okay? The lady was crazy. And when other people got involved to help, other deans and administrators within the department I graduated from, undergrad, oh, she spewed out her venom, her fire out of her dragon mouth. She spewed it all out on them. They got it too. But they knew she was not sticking to the syllabus. She was not locating the syllabus. She wanted to do whatever she wanted to do and take money and steal money from people. That's what she was about. She didn't care about anything. She did not care. And boy, she made it so hard for me. But I'm still not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm victorious. I know what she thought. Whatever she was doing to me back then, she had no idea of where I'd be right now. And I'm still not done. But she had no idea that one day, while people were calling her Dr. whatever, Dr. Disrespectful, Dr. Demon, that they'd be calling me Dr. Aiming Towards the Target. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway, back to my colleague. Colleague was dealing with a disrespectful administrator. Administrator didn't want to locate the syllabus like some individuals do. They don't want to locate anything because if they locate it, they have to walk in accountability also. That colleague of mine went through hoops, loops. Sometimes she'd be crying, you know, in her car. She's like, this is just unnecessary. I'm so frustrated. And I understood, as well as other people and other professors who found out what she was doing and other administrators who found out what the administrator was doing. They were getting it too, all because this person didn't want to be held accountable. The woman eventually, you know, finished the course. She passed it, but she didn't receive the grade she know or knew she deserved. But she passed and prevailed. Received her doctorate degree. Now she's an administrator. She is a college administrator now. But that story I just shared shows how some people don't want to stick to a syllabus and they don't want to locate the syllabus. And the reason they don't want to locate the syllabus, as I've mentioned several times, is they don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to do what they're supposed to do because the syllabus will expose them of what they're not doing. It's not only evident and relevant in the academic setting, it's within jobs, families. You see people not sticking to what God told them to stick to. They don't want to locate God's word because they don't want to be held accountable for what they're not doing in God's word. So what better way to distract people than to talk about things they think people want to hear, make it look like they're cool with people, distract them, delay them, and, oh, we'll talk about that later. Don't worry about it. It's not that serious. No. And before you know it, if you don't locate the syllabus, whatever whoopings they're going to receive, you're going to get those too. You're going to get them too. Because you have a course you're in and you're responsible for passing that course. You're responsible. Despite what people are trying to do. Whether they are trying to bully you, make you feel less than, belittle you, disrespect you, delay you, distract you. We are still responsible for passing the courses God has us in this overall course of life. It's our responsibility. When people fail, they can say, oh man, this person made me fail. Okay. But that's your responsibility. No matter what. These people tricked me. Okay. You still failed. Not you, but this person. You still failed. It's on you. That's how it goes. It's on you. There are people who make it their aim to cause individuals harm. They want to be destructive. They want to be stupid. They want to be idiotic. They want to engage in deplorable things. They want to be demonic. They want to be disgusting. Okay, but it's still our responsibility to read the syllabus, locate the syllabus, and do what we're supposed to do. We have to study God's syllabus. We have to do the assignments. We have to do that. We have to continuously ask, okay, where does it say to do this in the syllabus? Oh, it don't say that? Oh, I ain't doing that. You have to be bold enough, or a person should be bold enough to say, okay, where is that in the syllabus? So you're telling me in the syllabus it says to be diabolical? Because I didn't see that. Where does it say to be diabolical? Oh, where does it say to be disrespectful? Oh, where does it say to not walk in accountability? Where does it say that? Oh, where does it say to cheat? Where does it say to steal? Oh, where does it say to cry and blame people for stuff that you did? Where does it say that at? Where does it say not to take care of yourself and not forgive and not do what God says to do? Where does it say that? Because I need to see it, because I've located the syllabus and I don't see it there. What syllabus are you reading from? Oh, you're not reading from the syllabus for this life's course. Oh, you're reading from some stuff that you made up. Oh, some ideas. Some things that you want to do and you think should be done. Oh, well, that's not the course we're in. That's the syllabus we're reading from. Oh, that's what you're doing? Okay, let me go ahead and get out of here because this is not where I'm supposed to be. Now, this is the syllabus I'm supposed to follow, but this is not the classroom I need to be in. Let me relocate. See, leading people astray on purpose, that's not a game. A person will be dealt with. And we know a person will be dealt with on that because it can be located in the syllabus. Manipulation is not a game. Hiding the syllabus, hiding God's word, and hiding what somebody's supposed to do for another person's individual personal gain is not a game. I want to share an account in scripture when an instructor, a leader, didn't locate the syllabus, and the people who wanted to go along with this instructor and this leader's ideas and paradigm and pattern of thought, they didn't want to locate the syllabus either, although the syllabus was in their possession the entire time. And their administrator and their person who God put in their life to answer to, that person followed the syllabus, but they refused to follow the syllabus. And I encourage you to read Numbers, the 16th chapter, in its entirety, and ask the Lord to reveal the truth to you. Ask the Lord to give you knowledge, insight, wisdom, and discernment as you read his word. And also ask the Lord to show you things you've never seen before so you can do what he's commanded you to do. And also ask the Lord to bless you to be able to see what you need to see so you can stick to the syllabus and locate the syllabus in every area and aspect of your life. But here is a snapshot of what happens when a person doesn't locate the syllabus and they don't want to locate it. They don't want to locate it and they have it. There are dangers associated with deliberate decisions individuals make when they purposefully do not locate the syllabus for their life's course. And then they know God's syllabus exists, God's divine instruction exists, God's appointed man or woman of God exists, and they've been sent to them to teach them, but they don't want to locate it. They don't want to abide by that. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. Although they've seen the consequences associated with the person or other people not locating the syllabus and following the syllabus, but they think they're an exception to the rule as it relates to sticking to God's syllabus. But back to the snapshot in Numbers, the 16th chapter. God, our Heavenly Father, the Divine Administrator, created a syllabus for His children to follow in their life's course, just like He's done for us. God chose a man by the name of Moses to serve as the instructor for the class of students going through the life's course entitled Getting to the Promised Land. That's the course the children of Israel were enrolled in. That was their course. That was their class. Moses was an instructor, and Aaron was an instructor. Another class, or course, the children of Israel were enrolled in was the course entitled Obedience. So they had two classes they were taking simultaneously. They had two instructors. Get into the Promised Land was the first course, and Obedience was the second course. Now, in order for the students to get to the next level, they had to pass the courses they were enrolled, the courses God had them in. They had to do what was outlined in the syllabi, the syllabus, for each class. If those students wanted to advance to the next phase and level in life, they had to first earn their degree, majoring in obedience to God with a minor in possessing the promised land God has for you. But in order to receive that degree and live the way God wants or wanted them to live, they had to do what they needed to do in those courses at the time. They had to follow God's word, and they had to follow the instructor God sent to them. And in Numbers, the 16th chapter, we know the instructor was Moses. We know that. Aaron was an instructor. The master syllabus was provided to them. Now, if somebody in that course felt like something was off, and if they felt that the instructors were not doing what they were directed to do by God the Father, all they had to do was pray to God and talk to the syllabus creator. All they had to do was locate the syllabus. Locate the syllabus and let the instructors know, okay, I've been following the syllabus, but what you've been telling me to do is not here. No, there were three students enrolled in the obedience course and the Promised Land course who did not want to locate the syllabus. They didn't want to locate it, and they didn't want to follow it, and they had access to it. They had access to the instructors. They could have conversed with the instructors and let them know, okay, I'm in this course, but I'm not understanding A, B, or C. They could have done that, but they did not. They did not want to locate the syllabus. In Numbers, the 16th chapter, there were three men by the name of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These three men made a decision to rise up against Moses, or rise up before Moses, and they started to challenge Moses' leadership. they started to challenge his authority, his anointing. And not only did these three men disrespect Moses and the position God gave him, these three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, rallied up some troops. They started to converse with other classmates. They started a petition. And they gained a following of 250 leaders, Israelite men of distinction. And all 253 of them assembled together and they agreed to go against the syllabus. They didn't want to locate the syllabus to see, okay, what does the syllabus say? Let me do what the syllabus advises. Let me stick to the syllabus. No, they did not want to do that. They went against it. Then they went against the leader. They went against the instructor. They went against authority. And then they told Moses, the teacher for their life's course at that time, you've gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? See, these men were bold. And when you go through this series, I know I did a motivational aim entitled Focus on Your Seat. And just reading Numbers, the 16th chapter, you can see Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and the other 250 leaders, for them to be bold enough to tell Moses and Aaron that, they did not focus on their seat. Their seat was to sit in the course entitled Obedience and do what God told them to do. Their seat required them to gain instruction in the getting to the promised land course and complete those assignments and stick to the syllabus that God gave them. Their task included them following the instructor's directives so they could understand the purpose of the syllabus, but no. Instead of following the syllabus, sticking to the syllabus, and respecting the one God put in charge over them so they could advance to the next level in their life's course, these particular students were focused on the instructor's seat instead of doing what they were supposed to do in the course in their seat. So they got to the point where they were talking about things they had no business talking about, asking the instructor, why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? See, if these students, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and the other 250 leaders, these Israelite men of distinction, if they would have located the syllabus, all they had to do was locate their syllabus, they would have understood the reason the instructor was exalted above them was because the instructor had the qualifications, the experience, and the degree to instruct them. And the instructor was employed by the divine administrator, God the Father, to be over them, to lead them. God didn't choose them. God chose Moses. You see what happens when people are in a course? They don't know how to get to the next phase. They don't know how to listen to instruction. They don't know how to do what they think they can do. That's why they're in the class. But they have the audacity to tell the instructor what the instructor needs to do. And they are not even locating the syllabus for themselves. They're not doing it. It's one thing to locate the syllabus. You've read the syllabus. You see what needs to be done. And then you see the teachers not doing what they need to do. Okay, that person doesn't even have to talk to the instructor. They can go straight to the person over the instructor. And that person over the instructor would deal with the instructor. That's how that goes. But it's a sad day for that individual, that student who's enrolled in a course. They're not doing the work. They're not doing the assignments. They don't want to locate the syllabus. They're just mad that somebody's telling them to do what they need to do because they need to be held accountable for something. See, when people stop locating the syllabus and they choose not to locate the syllabus, they start focusing on things they have no business focusing in on. Where they start looking at the instructor saying, who does the instructor think they are? How do they know how to teach this class? I mean, how did they get the job? I'm just as qualified as them. Hey, stop it. Stop lying. Because if that person was just as qualified as they say they are, why did you enroll as a student and not as an employee or an instructor? Ah, you didn't have the qualifications. Aw. That's why. So you just lied. Not you, but this person. They're a liar. See, that's what happens when people don't locate the syllabus and then stick to the syllabus so they can do what God has for them to do. No, they start talking about the instructor. Why does the instructor sound like that? Why does he look or she look like that? They're younger than me. Who do they think they are? Why does she sound like that? Where's she from? Where he from? See, they miss out on what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be learning how to stick to the syllabus, obedience, get into their promised land. That's what this would be focusing on. But they're focused on the wrong seat. You know that happens in families. You know it does. People who have not been sticking to the syllabus regarding their life's course. They haven't been doing what God told them to do in a family. They could be 92, 120 years old, not doing what God said to do. And then the Lord anoints a relative or a family member to lead the family, tribe, dynamic, whatever, in a new direction. That person who has not done what God told them to do will actually stand up and holler, I'm your elder. Y'all supposed to listen to me. No, we not. Because we've been listening to you for 120 years and we still in a pit. But we listen to this 10-year-old and we're journeying to the promised land right now. I mean, how can you listen to them? They just 10. I mean, I'm your elder. I'm an elder. Yeah, you sure right, you an elder. You an old, stupid person. That's what you are. And we're trying to get somewhere in life. So we did it your way. It don't work. It's created confusion, chaos, destruction. Nah, the Lord got us listening to somebody else who wants to follow him and locate the syllabus. All the years we've entertained you and listened to you, not one time have you pulled out the syllabus. You have never pulled it out. I mean, only thing you do is just bless the food at family functions. That's all you know how to do, but you don't know how to bless anybody with an encouraging word. You don't pray for nobody. You don't help nobody out. Family member had a flat tire in front of your house. You walked out the house trying to figure out who that was with a flat tire. You found out it was your niece, your nephew, your grandchild. And what did you do? You backed out of the driveway, pulled up on the side of the niece, nephew, grandchild of yours, and told them, hey, yeah, I'm about to go. Go ahead and call your daddy so they can figure it out. But hope you get that fixed. But you hollering, you an elder, and you want somebody to listen to you. Now, the time to listen to you was when God provided these scenarios for you to sow into those family members, the word of God, a life of integrity, love. You didn't do that. So we going in a different direction, but now you want to holler, oh, I'm an elder. Yeah, you an elder. You old in your thinking. You old in your ways. You old in your thoughts. You're stupid. Because you purposefully don't want to locate the syllabus. I just got all the way off target. But it still applies. But let me get back to Numbers, the 16th chapter. Ooh, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram totally disrespected God's syllabus. They didn't want to stick to the syllabus. They didn't want to locate it. And the thing is, these individuals were in leadership positions and they did not want to locate the syllabus. They were leaders who didn't want to locate the syllabus. So that means they were impacting other people who were following them. They were impacting people to do what God commanded them to do. They wanted to join a cause and campaign that had nothing to do with the syllabus because what they were doing was not located in there. They wanted to start introducing their ideas, their beliefs, their patterns of thought, and a course that didn't call for that. Their course was the course entitled Obedience. It didn't say disobey. That's not in the course. Their other course was Get Into the Promised Land. It didn't say, let's start talking about who the leader is and how God is in us all. I'm supposed to lead. That's not in there. God had them in a course they just needed to follow. See, they was okay with following the leader when they were leaving bondage and slavery. You don't read about them saying, hey, Moses, what you coming over here for talking about we need to leave? We need to get out of this bondage. I mean, we want to be slaves. We want to stay. Who told you to lead us out of slavery? I didn't read that anywhere. So if Moses was good enough for God to ordain as a leader and a teacher to get them out of slavery, why can't he lead you to the promised land? Man, people do this still to this day. But when Moses heard what these 253 people were doing, Moses fell face down and he spoke to Korah and all of his company. Moses spoke to everybody connected to Korah's cause. Everybody who want to not locate the syllabus, Moses spoke to them. And Moses told them, in the morning, the Lord will show you who belongs to him. The Lord will show you who is holy and will bring near to himself the one whom he will choose. He will bring near to himself. Then Moses gave them specific instructions on what to do. And he told them, the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi. So Moses tells Korah's crew and those following Korah's cause, therefore you and all your company are gathered against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you murmur against him? And don't forget to read Numbers, the 16th chapter in its entirety. But when you read it, you'll see how Korah's crew, all of those people who didn't want to locate the syllabus, they didn't want to locate the syllabus. They approached Moses and Aaron, God's chosen instructors for the syllabus God passed out for them to follow when they were in bondage. God chose Moses and Aaron, and then Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, as well as those other 250 men of distinction, those leaders. Remember, they were not employed for the position. They were not ordained for the position. They were not anointed for the position. They had no experience in that position. They were hollering, we want your seat. We can do what you can do. Matter of fact, we can do it better. Well, if that's the case, the Lord wouldn't have sent me all the way over here to help you get out of slavery, to get over here to this promised land. I mean, you was in it. You could have let these people out before I showed up. Why didn't you? Korah, Dathan, Abiram, 250 leaders of distinction. Why y'all didn't do it? Why you want to be a leader now? What's that about? All these men approach God's anointed. And when you read Numbers, the 16th chapter, you'll see how the Lord responded. And these men who wanted to focus on, they didn't want to, they did it. They focused on the wrong seat. They were disrespectful. They were totally disrespectful. They received clear-cut instructions and assignments to follow in the syllabus, and they didn't want to do it. They caused a riot. They signed the petition. They financed the campaign, but they refused to stand up boldly to let people know how they feel face to face. They hide. But when you read Numbers, the 16th chapter, we see how the Lord let everybody know that he called and he commanded that Moses and Aaron lead the people. They were the ordained instructors for the course that they were enrolled in, and that they were teaching the right thing, and that they were holy. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works." This is found in Numbers, the 16th chapter. "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I do not act of my own accord." Moses let the class know, "I don't do what I want to do. I locate God's syllabus and I stick to it." Moses tells the congregation and then the men who went against him, "If these men die the common death of all mankind, or if what happens to everyone happens to them, then you will know for sure that the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up, along with all that belongs to them, and they descend alive into Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, then you will understand that these men have spurned and rejected the Lord." As soon as Moses finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households, and all the men who supported Korah with all their possessions and everything that belonged to them, they went down alive to Sheol. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. And fire came forth and consumed the 250 men who were a part of Korah's cause and crew. But after seeing the ground open up and the fire consume the 250 men of distinction and who were leaders, there were some people who didn't learn the lesson. They still didn't want to locate the syllabus, even though the syllabus was right there in their face. There should have been a lesson to locate the syllabus and stick to the syllabus for other students enrolled in the course. But no, other students in the class were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You caused the death of the people of the Lord." Korah's crew and Korah's cause disrespected God. And they rejected, or these people rejected God. They rejected God's leader, and God dealt with them. And God showed them, this is what happens when you reject me, you reject my leader, and you don't locate my syllabus. But people who were enrolled in the course still, "Aaron, Moses, why did y'all do that? Y'all didn't have to do that to them." They did that to themselves. Some people do that right now. Some people don't want to accept somebody's decisions and the actions and consequences that they're going through. And instead of correcting what they were engaged in or addressing what someone did as wrong, they rather live a lie, act like they don't see it. They don't want to locate the syllabus and blame everybody else for what they failed to do or what somebody else failed to do, because they don't want to be held accountable. And guess what happened to those students who said, "Moses, Aaron, why did you do that? Y'all didn't have to do that to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those 250 men. You didn't have to do that." See, the people who saw what they saw, and they still rejected God, and they still didn't accept people not locating the syllabus and receiving what they brought on themselves, 14,700 students in that obedience course and in getting to the Promised Land course, 14,700 of those students died, all because they wanted to remain connected with not locating the syllabus and following it and sticking to it. Let this be a lesson Don't willingly connect yourself with people who refuse to locate God's syllabus. Don't connect with people who refuse to follow leadership. They refuse to do right. I'm talking about they refuse to follow God-honoring leadership. They refuse to stick to the syllabus. They refuse to locate the syllabus. They refuse to walk in the right direction. They see the repercussions of disconnecting from God's syllabus, but they want to just hide and stay around just to see what happens so they can take what they want from the situation, but they really don't want to do what God tells them to do. They just want to be around just to glean and see what I can get from this. And they're quiet, but what's in their heart comes out of their mouth when it's time to enforce boundaries and do what God said to do. The aim is to locate the syllabus in everything you do. When people talk to you and tell you, thus said the Lord told me to tell you this, locate God's syllabus to confirm what they're saying is true. Because there are some people who will say, well, I feel led and God told me to do this. God told me to tell you this. Sometimes people tell you that. Not all the time, but sometimes people say things so you can just shut up. They want you to shut up and do what they say do. So since I know you listen to the Lord, let me just say, I feel led and God's leading me. Well, okay. The Lord can lead you, and the Lord probably told you to tell me that. But the way I confirm it is I locate the syllabus. And guess what? I go to God for myself to see if he told you that. Because he's going to tell me if he told you to tell me that. Or if he told you to do that. Or if he really led you to do that. Yeah, I don't have a say in it. But you just can't let people tell you stuff and the syllabus is not in there. God's word is not in it. You can't locate God's word anywhere. The aim is to locate the syllabus for yourself so you can be sensitive and you can know, okay, the Lord did tell you to tell me that, or the Lord did say to do that, because I can locate the syllabus in there. The aim is to not get caught up with people's words and what they say and how they say things. They might sound so sweet, and I just want to let you know that God told me to tell you. Okay, just because you say something, not you, but just because somebody says something in a nice tone that seems so soft, cool, and warming, it could be lying. And they get mad when you say, the Lord didn't tell me that. Now, okay, if you do some stuff, they get upset. Then the truth comes out because they start hollering and cursing. Well, the Lord didn't tell you to tell me that. What you so upset about? See? Stick to God's syllabus, locate God's syllabus, read his word. And you can see in Numbers, the 16th chapter, how Korah, Dathan, and Abiram's family was impacted because their refusal to locate the syllabus. When we don't locate the syllabus and stick to the syllabus, it impacts those in our sphere of influence. And it has long-lasting results. When we fail to locate the syllabus and stick to God's syllabus, it's just not about us. It's about everybody connected to us. That's how it goes. And going back to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those 250 leaders, even the grumblers, those students in class who knew it wasn't right what these people were doing, they didn't want to locate the syllabus and they went along with it. And since they were connected to disobedience, connected to wrong thinking, connected to things that had nothing to do with the class, they were connected in disregarding the syllabus, not trying to locate it, they got a whooping too. They were whipped. They were dealt with. All because they chose to sing songs with the wrong crew. Locating the syllabus means exposing what a person doesn't need to do in that class. The assignments they were never instructed to complete. That's why it's important to locate the syllabus. Because although a person is qualified to teach something, they might be teaching something in a course that's not on the syllabus. And if you locate the syllabus, you can see, no, this is not what's on there. You got to be able to locate the syllabus and then stick to it. The aim is to not go against what God designed for you to learn and do. God put the right people in the right places to assist you, assist me. And if we reject that and we don't want to locate the syllabus, it's on us. And it's on us if people tell us, hey, you know, you don't have to follow the syllabus. It's on us. It's our issue if we don't locate the syllabus in any scenario I provide. We need to locate the syllabus and stick to it. You have several courses you need to pass. You have to master these courses. And the way you master courses and the way you pass courses is first, you stick to the syllabus. And in order to stick to a syllabus, you got it, you have to locate the syllabus, all right? A scripture I want to leave with you is 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. And this is what it says. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing. They will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. And will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. Our aim is to stick to God's syllabus, read God's syllabus, listen to the God-honoring instructors God puts in your life. Listen to the God-honoring men and women God puts in your life. Listen to God, not only listen to them, do what they're telling you to do if you can locate what they're telling you to do in God's syllabus. Listen to God-honoring connections, family, friends. Listen to those people God puts in your life, people who are placed in your pathway for a purpose so you can pass your course God's way. That's the aim. If anyone or anything jumps in front of you while you are enrolled in your life's course, with the intent to get you off of God's path, telling you what you want to hear. They're telling you to do what you want to do, and it's not what God says, and you can't locate what they're talking about in God's syllabus. That is a distraction, and they're trying to get you on a path towards destruction. And they might not even be doing it intentionally. Sometimes people do it with the intent to destroy you. But sometimes people, that's what they're doing. They want to feel good. They want to do what they want to do. And it's not God's best for them. And it's not in God's syllabus. So they want you to do it too. They want some company. The aim is for you to locate God's syllabus and follow it. Even if you have to follow God's syllabus by yourself. God knows how to send you the right people to encourage you and to walk with you down the path he has for you. But if you don't locate the syllabus and you don't want to stick to the syllabus and you reject the syllabus, it'll just come with all kinds of consequences, regret, grief. Especially when you know, my goodness, why did I do A, B, and C? See, that's why we have a gracious, loving Father who blesses us with forgiveness and repentance, where we can turn from what we were doing and go the direction he's planned for us. We can locate the syllabus and follow it. We can do that. But it's bad business when a person refuses to locate it because they just want to do what they want to do. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to stay in their error because it feels good and they don't want to be accountable for anything. They want to just blame everybody for their problems, even though they're the ones who ran after their problems. They begged their problems to stay in their life. They jumped on their problems. They paid for their problems. They courted their problems. They hugged their problems. And then they're upset that their problem is not doing what they thought it would do. They thought they could change their problem into a blessing, into a promotion, into a promise. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. Don't be like those individuals in Numbers, the 16th chapter, who purposefully didn't locate the syllabus. They didn't want to stick to the syllabus. They wanted their ears tickled. They wanted to satisfy their own desires. They wanted to support their own errors. They wanted to wander off into lies and fantasies. They wanted people to co-sign and accept what was unacceptable. When things get to that level, that's a clear indication that someone does not want to locate the syllabus, because the consequences will follow. And you've seen some of those consequences of people, whether it be yourself or somebody you know or somebody you know of. You know what it looks like when somebody wants to do what they want to do. They throw God's syllabus in a trash can, or they bury it in the ground, or they make sure not to look at it, and then they make sure to disassociate and disconnect from people who are locating the syllabus, because they don't want to hear that syllabus, that God talk. They don't want to hear that obedience stuff. They don't want to hear about getting to your destiny God's way. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to be a part of conversations that talk about great and God honoring unions and relationships with people. They don't want that. And then you see what happens. Their decisions led them to what they're going through. And then they holler, this happened to me. No, this didn't happen. You happened to yourself, because you failed, not you, but this person failed to locate the syllabus. And I'm talking about situations where someone deliberately did not locate the syllabus. They rejected God's syllabus, and they received the consequences for their actions. They're reaping what they've sown, and they don't like that. So time is going by. Let me try to blame somebody for something. And then when an investigation is carried out to see, did you locate the syllabus when you were in your life's course? Oh, you didn't? You did what you wanted to do? Oh, that's what that comes with. They get upset. Stick to the syllabus, locate the syllabus so you can pass your life's course, okay? Thank you for tuning in. Feel free to visit my website, drkenitrabryant.com. Enjoy y'all's day. Remain encouraged. Peace and God bless.